This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyways, look, man, 404-726-0929, it's the wake-up call. We got a lot of NFL topics still yet to get to in today's show. Let's go ahead and head out to the phone lines, though, and talk to our boy. What's happening, Chief? What's going on?
What's happening, Chief?
What's up, man?
Good morning, Tribal Chief, Mr. Sir? Mike P. Johnson. I got a quick question for you guys. I was playing trivia last week. I wanted to call you guys last week. I just wanted to see, can you guys get it? I lost because the guy guesses in three, they give him three, clues, and he guesses before I did. I just want to, I'm going to go through it right quick, see, can you guys get it? It's an NFL player.
All right.
First clue was he was national champion. Second clue was he was a Heisman Trophy winner. Third clue was he was Rookie of the Year. Fourth clue was he won a Super Bowl. Fifth clue was he was MVP in the NFL. Do you know who this player is?
So he was. He won a Super Bowl.
It says to be Cam Newton.
He was Cam Newton didn't win a Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl. He won a Heisman. He won a national championship. And he was an SEC player.
Yeah, let's go.
No, he was a Pac-10 player, actually.
Pac-10 player.
Reggie Bush.
No. Dang. It was Zach Marcus Allen.
Ooh. I was close.
I saw this. Somebody posted this the other day.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, he beat me. I had no idea. The first three clues, the guy got it. Anyway, my wake-up call is for everybody when the surgery sounds the thing in the NFL and these anonymous people who write this thing about this guy. The only thing I got to say to you guys is that I hope he turns out to be like Trae Young and just disappoints all of you guys, because some of this stuff is ridiculous. You're questioning the man because he has a little flamboyancy like his dad and stuff. I just think some of the stuff is ridiculous, and you don't like the guy because who his dad is. You guys need to stop it. Just wake up.
Yeah.
All right, I want to talk about this. I appreciate Chief, as always.
Yeah, thanks,
obviously,
man.
Proud member.
Love you the trivia question, too.
You know, the problem I have with it is stop asking people their opinions when they meet someone, because that report came out about Shador.
Yeah, from Justine Anderson.
And Justine said, well, I'm disappointed. You're disappointed in how someone perceives something. So I don't even know what that report was, but everybody is going to see people differently when they meet them.
Yeah.
And if I meet someone and they come off a certain way to me, that has to do with a ton of things about what I want in a player or whatever, right?
Right.
It doesn't make the person a bad person.
Right.
It doesn't make the player a bad person. But we get mad and when we label people of what, well, they don't like Deion or they don't like,
they don't like him. They must be this.
And guess what? It's happened before. Shador Sanders not the first. It happened. I thought Chief did a good point with Trey. And it's going to happen after. It happened with Baker Mayfield, as you brought up the other day.
Yeah.
But we got to stop getting upset about people's opinions.
There's 32 NFL teams. There was bound to be a team that didn't like the way that Shador Sanders came off. And that's fine, man. You know why? Because, again, I brought up Baker Mayfield the other day only to say that there was Josina Anderson, I remembered and actually looked at the clip after the show. She actually asked Baker Mayfield at the combine about, you know, him being labeled cocky. And he was like, I think I'm just confident. And you know what the end result was? Baker Mayfield went number one overall.
Yeah.
It really didn't matter in the end if the seventh team didn't like him. You know why? Could have gone six, could have gone eight.
Well,
doesn't really matter.
The fourth team he was on became the one that really stuck, and he's turned into a good player.
Very, very good point.
Shedeur Sanders could go to Cleveland or Tennessee or whoever drafts him and be a stud right out of the bat. He could also fail.
Yeah.
And it might not be all his fault. Like, it wasn't all Baker's fault. It could be where the team failed him as much as he failed himself, and then he had to go somewhere to find it where it was a nice mesh. You never know. But it's not an indictment.
What's funny is I remember, so I was in my second year with the Falcons when Cam Newton was like the first overall with the Panthers. And I always wondered what that locker room was like. And, you know, you have teammates that know people over there or whatever, and there's always conversation about, you know, Cam's a little bit cocky or you know, has these traits. And he ended up living up to the billing. And I thought, man, that always worked out well for him, right? His cockiness, his confidence. He had a number of good games against the Falcons. And it kind of just took a back seat. Until recently, when he talked about how there was losers in the locker room. And then you had people like, you know, Steve Smith or whoever else that was involved in that locker room that didn't like it.
You know,
I thought, man, there's that cockiness from 2010 Cam coming back out of being like, I was the guy.
Well, he never lost it. You know, the funniest part is in that statement, he kind of acted like there were no leaders in that locker room. I think there were leaders in that locker room. And the reason there were leaders is because they willingly accepted him because they knew he made them better. And I think that is a leadership to me sign when people can welcome you in and accept you for who you are because they know that their relationship with you will be a certain way, but you make them better.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters. Speaking of teams getting better or worse, DK Metcalf requested his trade yesterday.
All right.
It happened to be on the same day that the team announced their release in Tyler Lockett, which, you know, probably could have given Lockett his day in the sun.
Give him his flowers a little bit.
Only a Super Bowl champion player.
Yeah, sure. 10-year career there.
Diana Rossini has reported that the Seahawks are seeking a first and third round pick for DK Metcalf. I just think it should be known that DK Metcalf is seeking a new contract, one that he would expect to be paid at least $30 million a year. That's a hell of a haul for a player that you have to turn around and absolutely pay. And if that's their asking price, one, you know that they know they won't get that. And two, that's probably why they put that out there. But if I'm the rest of the league, I sit on my hands and say, no, this guy's wants out. You either pay him or release him.
Dude, everybody's doing the same thing when others get. Jonathan Allen's going through this, the Commanders' defensive tackle, saying basically if we can't find a trade partner, we're going to let him go. Cooper Kupp is going through this. You know, there's questions about whether or not Kirk Cousins is going through this. The problem that I think a lot of these guys are going to run into, and I'm DK Metcalf, a very, very good player. But you're also in a point in time where it seems like there is an endless list of veteran wide receivers that are available. Now, are any of them to the level of DK Metcalf? Maybe Davante Adams. You know, we don't know what Chris Godwin is health-wise. Marquise Brown's out there. Amari Cooper's out there. Stephon Diggs is out there. Darius Slayton's out there. I mean, I can go all the way down the list of these free agent wide receivers. Not only that, but I just mentioned Cooper Kupp is available via trade. I don't think DK Metcalf is going to find the market that he probably thinks he's going to find. I don't know that Seattle is going to find a market where anybody's willing to give him a first and a third with the 15-plus guys out there that you feel like are not to his level, but not that far off either.
DK Metcalf's had one 90-catch season. The last two seasons, he's had 66 catches each season. One was 1,100-yard season, the other was under 1,000. Not much, though, 8 yards. 13 touchdowns combined those two seasons. Not saying that he still isn't an excellent player. I'm just asking if 66 catches a year for 1,000 yards is worth $30 million.
It's the conversation, it's the exact conversation we've had a number of times about some of the other players on this roster. But it's the Drew Dolman conversation. Drew Dolman could make up to, you know, $18 million a year in free agency. Do we think Drew Dolman's good? Yeah, I think he's great. Is Ryan Neuzel at probably $15 million a year less? Is he in the ballpark? Abso-freaking-lutely he is.
I think that's the argument that I knew that Dolman started more games than Neuzel. And I knew that Neuzel started four or five games. I did not realize he started almost half the season.
He did, yeah.
And guess what? It was a stretch where you did pretty freaking good.
I was going to say, the fact that you didn't realize that is a check in Ryan Neusel's column. And I know we got completely off topic there, but...
But that's the part that the most underrated player on the Atlanta Falcons right now might be on the offensive line. And he might be Matthew Bergeron.
Mm.
Because Matthew Bergeron came in here, solidified the guard position, went, and by the way,
ding,
he wasn't a guard.
Yeah,
when he came out of college, and it's made the center. It's made the, and I'm not saying it's all that way. The center's done a good job. Drew Dahman's done a good job. He's become turned into a good player, and I know they love him up there, and rightfully so. But he sure as hell didn't hurt Ryan Neusel when he was playing.
Yeah,
and so that's the thing for me. And where did we draft Matthew Bergeron?
37.
Oh, I thought all second round picks under the Fontenot era had been bust.
Stop talking to Mark Zeno so much.